Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Adrian.
Be right with you.
Perfect.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, Adrian. I'm very well. Nice to talk to you.
This is a wonderful book.
Excellent.
And as I understand
it.
I did. I loved it. Named the best book by the AARP. And I read it from cover to cover, and I know that we won't have time to do everything. So I just wanted to tell you what I'd like to cover, but if there's other things, you should tell me, okay?
Sure.
I wanted to cover first for the people to we've had neuroscientists on before, so we don't have to do too much, but we should, because you never know who's new listening, that the brain
yep.
is plastic, that you can
yep.
do things, all right?
Yep.
The second thing, I think that's the physical exercise part of it is very important. And if you want to, you could meld that with the nutritional aspects, too. So that sets them up for things
sure.
that they can really do in their own life before we get too much, you know, into the science of it. But then... I definitely would like you to talk about the fact that things they may not realize affect their brain, like being in community and having good relationships and friends and being out there. Because this is an older audience, and what you're writing for is everybody, really, not just them. But
yep.
most of the people listening are baby boomers, but we now have some statistics. So they're not the old, old. They're people... Let's say our average age is 59. So we'll say from 50 to 65, that group.
Yep.
And then if we have time, it would be wonderful if you wanted to talk about things we hear. Oh, take omega-3, do crossword puzzles, buy
yep.
this supplement and that supplement. So
yep.
those are all things. Yeah.
Sounds
now,
like
what,
a good plan.
Yes. Can I hear? I did not hear you. Say that again.
Oh, yeah. That is a good plan. Just two concepts to me are important additionally. One, the importance of professional activity. And given that age range, maybe, I don't know if people still are working or
yes.
part-time, but the importance of being active in any way can be volunteers, can be, I mean, cognitively active, that is very important.
Right.
And the other idea, which is very important, is the idea that we are not all the same. So the idea that everyone has to do the same thing makes no sense. We have to learn to understand what we may need. Not everyone is the same, and what makes sense for each of us. And that's a very important message that often gets ignored by the media when you just say one thing is the best for everyone. That makes no sense.
Okay, good. So I want to emphasize, I'm going to do that up front, that this
yep.
is a book about being your own brain fitness coach, that this is really a guidebook. It's not just a scientific book. And it
yep.
it helps them determine what is right for them. So maybe we should do that. We'll do that part right up front, okay?
Yeah, sure. And again, it is your audience, so you know best how to engage them and how to
right.
lead the conversation. I'm your resource here. More than happy to talk to you and to them.
Right. Now, the other is, what are the best ways? I'm going to ask you right up front, what are the best ways to get the book?
Well, the best is Amazon. I mean, either
okay.
as print or Kindle. How many people like Kindle these days? Amazon is the best, most easy way and cheapest to get it.
Okay, good. In that case, I'll be able to say it because that's easy. Is there a separate website for the book that you have?
Well, sharpbrains.com, our website, and that's for the book, but also we publish a lot of interesting articles and brain teasers that people may find interesting.
Great. Okay, so I am ready here. And I just want to make sure that I'm saying your name right. I'm sure I am. Alvaro. Now I can. Alvaro Fernandez, correct?
Correct. Yep, correct.
Okay, very good. We're ready to go.
Excellent.
Okay, so let me just tell you, we have two. You'll hear music. I'll introduce the show. Then we'll have a segment that's how long, Stuart?
11 minutes.
And then we take a break. I may even have to cut you off, but we take a break. And then we come back for another 9 minutes. Okay? So we have 20 minutes
perfect.
Altogether.
All
right, let's
deal.
Go, Stuart.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
He sees hair on his head and not on his shoulders, and that's because this is Generation Bold, the bold generation. And it's the fountain of truth about growing older, being middle-aged, if there is such a thing anymore, and it's, of course, being a baby boomer. So, from all the baby boomers to you, we have something very special. And that is we're going to eliminate what might be the worst part of aging, at least in our own minds, and that is our own minds. Today we have a real pioneer, a person who has pioneered the area of brain fitness throughout the age continuum. And I remember when he was a baby just starting out and trying to do this, and nobody was paying attention. And now he has one of the most important organizations when it comes to brain fitness. But he also has a brand new book out. And this is a best book by the AARP, so named. It's called The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness. And I'll tell you why it is so important to you, and then I will introduce you to its author, Alvaro Fernandez. If you would go to sharpbrains.com, you'll find a lot of information about brain fitness. But if you read this book, what you'll have basically is your own personal brain fitness coach. You can become your own brain fitness coach, just like you might have a physical exercise coach. It's called The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness. It's on Amazon. And it's by Alvaro Fernandez. So, Alvaro, thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
It's my pleasure. Let me start with a little clarification. It's co-authored between myself and the neuroscientist Elhanan Goldberg. So it's a joint effort by both of us.
Yes, and so it's written by a brain fitness, let's say, communicator, who's Alvaro,
yep.
And, of course,
yep.
a Ph.D., so
yep.
We've got it. But, you know, a lot of people are skeptical. They don't really believe that the brain can be trained. And your whole point is that it can, that it's plastic. So let's talk to that first.
Yep. So that's, in fact, that's the best starting point. And frankly, that's why I myself got engaged in this area over 10 years ago by talking to scientists, by understanding how there's a completely new paradigm of what is the brain, how it works, and the word neuroplasticity or how flexible the brain remains throughout our whole lifespan is a new idea and is very profound and very important. So I thought if this is true, how can we help educate the public, both our children, how will they become, develop the cognitive and emotional resources to be prepared for life? As middle-aged adults, how do we stay as productive and resilient as possible? And how do we help older adults also stay independent and functional for as long as possible so they can continue being active contributors and delay the symptoms of Alzheimer's and other dementia. So the key idea is that our brains are similar to muscles in that they never lose that property to grow. It depends on what we do with them. So that idea is already extremely well established. So the open question is how each of us can benefit from that.
Yeah, and you had mentioned off air when I was asking about what we hear omega-3, we hear that we should have certain vitamins, we hear that we should do crossword puzzles. And you said, you know, it's great, except that every brain is different. Can you explain that to us? Because we do have a tendency to think that the only differences in a brain is how smart we are. That's about all we think of in terms of the brain. But boy, that's not true.
Yeah. Well, it's how our brains work, but also what our lifestyles look like. So, for example, aerobic exercise is a key foundation for brain health, because the more aerobic exercise we do, the more we contribute to what is called neurogenesis, the creation of new neurons, which, by the way, happens every single day of our lives, no matter how young or old we are. And the more exercise we do, the more new neurons we can create. However, what is very well established in the scientific evidence is that there is a huge benefit from being sedentary to doing at least 2 hours of aerobic exercise a week. That is a huge benefit. But for people who already are doing 4 hours or 5 hours of aerobic exercise a week, doing even more brings little benefit. Maybe those people should spend more time learning how to meditate, because learning how to regulate stress is also extremely important. And often people don't realize that when they don't know how to regulate stress, that's what's creating memory problems. So we have to understand how the mind works, and the mind is not just being smart or IQ. The mind is a set of different functions. It's how to pay attention, how to regulate stress and emotions, working memory. How can we process new information and combine it with old information? So there is a range of, we can call it mental muscles. And that's why when we approach brain health, we have to approach it from a holistic point of view of understanding that there are different pieces in that jigsaw puzzle of brain health, and which of the pieces may be missing for us.
Yes, and I will talk about one of those pieces that are missing in a lot of lives in a moment, but I do want to remind everybody that we're speaking here with Alvaro Fernandez. He is one of the authors and one of the leading spokespersons in the world, actually, about brain health. The name of the book is The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness. The important thing about it is that it is a coaching tool for you. This is not just a science book, but there are many, many scientists with their opinions and their point of view in this, but it is really a coaching book. It's very much like if you would pick up an exercise book for your muscles, this is an exercise book for your brain. But one of the things that's missing, Alvaro, remember, we talk on this show to people of all ages, but some of them are older. And isolation, not having friends, not having relatives that you can talk to, also affects the brain. And what many people think is dementia is really loneliness. How important is that scientifically for the brain to have relationships and communication with others?
So that's extremely important for a number of reasons. Let me explain a bit the history of the book, and that links to that question.
Yeah.
Because in the book, what we tried to, first of all, years ago, we realized that many people told us, well, I want to do something, but I don't know where to start. So what we did is then to review all the evidence, to interview hundreds of scientists, and then to summarize, so where to start and how to even think about that. And one of the important messages that people told us, and we review in the evidence, is precisely that aspect of community, because it is a great way to combine different elements at the same time. So if you are active in a book club, or you are active as a volunteer in your local school or community center or library, so you do many good things at the same time. First, you have to walk there, so that involves some physical exercise. You are meeting other people, new people, and that's cognitively demanding. You have to understand what they are saying, understand what their priorities are, how to contribute to that. Sometimes that may frustrate you, make you angry, so you have to regulate stress. So being part of a community, being active, in whatever ways are meaningful to each of us, is an extremely important way to exercise our brain, again, because it combines many important things. When we conducted this review of the scientific evidence, in contrast, we saw that the one lesser activity that has more clear evidence that it is negative for brain health is watching television, which in a sense is the precise opposite of being engaged with the community, correct? And the reason is, and the reason is not that watching television is bad per se, but the reason is because the more time we spend watching television, the less time we spend doing other things that are much better for our brains. So that message is very important to understand. Having said that, one clarification is important as well, which is not all types of social engagement are the same. The more meaningful they are, the more a bit they push us out of our comfort zone, the better they are, because they add a bit of cognitive challenge. And that's very important, which is why in the book we talked about volunteering. So volunteering in many different ways can be a great way, both for our communities and for ourselves.
You know, one of the things about the book, The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness, is what they tell you to do. I have to tell you, it's much easier than what they tell you to do in Pilates class. I mean, there's some wonderful things here. The right foods, the right nutrition, meeting people, volunteering, book clubs, and that sort of thing. And when we come back, I want to talk about something that I actually promised Alvaro I would not talk about. You know, this is not just for us as adults. He does have in the book information for children, those that have ADD. We'll come back and we'll talk about that for you, for your grandkids, for your kids. Don't go anywhere.
Perfect. I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Hello? Okay, so we're off the air now for a few minutes, okay? Oh, they're doing commercials.
Sure. Yeah.
So this
excellent.
Is great. Now, I do want to say a few words to the children. I've really forgotten how many grandparents we have here and parents.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
We should say that. I wanted to know this is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And in fact, that's
book.
A great way. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I did want to talk about some of the spiritual stuff. I mean, you mentioned meditation. I'll talk. You'll talk a bit about that and why that's effective. And and then I think we can finish with, you know, how they can put this into their life in an organized way, that the book helps you put this in your life in an organized way. All right?
Excellent. Perfect.
Okay, we're ready to go again.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit
I'm inappropriate for my age. Yes, we are inappropriate for our age, because we're out there, and we're loud, and we're proud, and we're making a difference. And here we have an author, Alvaro Fernandez, who's one of the leaders in the area of brain fitness, as he mentioned, for 10 years. He's been toiling in those waters trying to convince people that they can improve their brain. And he's done it. I think people accept it now. And what he's discovered is they say, okay, I believe you. Now what? And so there is a book out that he's written together with scientists and PhDs. And it also has information from many, many other scientists in the book. It's called The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness. Named the best book by AARP. It is an easy read, but it's really a coaching book for you to become your own brain coach. And I don't want anyone to get the impression that this is a book for the elderly, my people, so to speak, only the mature. It really starts with things you can do with your kids and grandkids. So just say a word or two about that, Alvaro.
Yeah, well, that's it. In fact, we talk a lot about the whole lifespan. And in the end of the book, in the last chapter, is all about how to prioritize for different decades of life. So we have many examples of people who are children, younger adults, older adults, because that idea is very important. We want to help create a new culture of brain fitness where people pay so much attention to their brains and minds as we do to our bodies through the whole lifespan. And obviously that starts with children. And the opportunity for grandparents to play and to contribute to the education of the grandchildren, it is very, very important, and the priorities are a bit different, but the brain is a brain is a brain. So it's the same elements of what we can help our children. So aerobic exercise still is very, very important. So when the schools don't devote enough time to physical education, that is a problem. And we have to make sure our children have enough time to be outdoors, to play, to do sports. Children these days get very stressed, and there is a lot of academic and social pressures on them. So if we help them become calmer, learn how to breathe, how to be mindful, how to meditate, this is not only for adults, this is also for children who have to learn how to cope with stress, how to encourage them not to feel like failures. If they fail at school, it's always a challenge. But in fact, challenge, doing difficult things, are very good for their brains. Can be making effort at the school, can be learning a second language. But the culture is a culture of lifelong growth and lifelong effort, which is very important for people to understand.
Yeah, I know. And you know, we talk about people retiring and then soon after getting stressed and depressed. And we wonder, how is it possible when there's no demands from work, there's no demands from outside, maybe you have enough money to live on? How is it that you get so sad, so depressed? And that is because your life engagement goes. And when children are only going to school, eating poorly, and watching television, their life engagement goes too. They have such a flame. But you can see in some cases that it's not there entirely. And this is a wonderful, wonderful priorities for the schools, for the home. But, you know, you reminded me of something, Alvaro. I belong to an organization called Swellness. It's a movement. You can actually go online and see swellnessmovement.com. And it's people like you, you should be part of it too, that get together once a year and do extraordinary things to look into what it means to really feel well. And we went to the Museum of Play in Philadelphia. And guess what? None of us knew how to play. We had forgotten how to just sit down and play with a train. We felt awkward, silly. We didn't do it. We were bored. We didn't know how to play. And what a blessing for the grandparents out there to go and encourage play, real play, not with a joystick and a computer, although that helps the brain too in a different way, and do it with the kids. So let's go back. The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness is a real guide. You become your own coach. But you've mentioned many times, even on this little interview, stress. But throughout the book, you do emphasize meditation, which I meditate with a group every week for half a morning. And when I don't, I feel it. But a lot of people, they don't have meditation in their life in this country. So what's the power of it that you have found?
So the power, so stress itself, a little bit is fine. Too much of it is what is pretty negative. It can contribute to the death of existing neurons. So if that happens one day, 2 days, a week, that doesn't matter, right? We have plenty of billions of neurons. We lose a few, doesn't matter. But we stay in a state of chronic stress for months, for years, which is often what happens with us humans, that becomes a real problem. So the main problem is that we have to regulate. We cannot change our life. We are living in the 21st century where there is a lot of stress factors. So we have to learn how to regulate stress. And meditation, and there are different forms of meditation, and it depends. People like different things. Some people like to approach this in a more spiritual manner, some people in a more religious manner. Some people love high tech, and now there is sensors that can measure your physiological stress, and you can learn how to breathe to truly change your physiological stress. Some people don't like technology, and they prefer to be part of a group, as you are talking about. But what is a very important message from the evidence is that how to regulate stress is probably the most important capacity that all of us need to survive and thrive in the year we live in. So I hope in the future that will become one subject in every single school, because that's absolutely important. But in the absence of that, it's our turn for each of us to either join a group or to try one approach or to try one of these technology tools. But frankly, for many people who complain about memory, unregulated stress is probably the main bottleneck.
And I will tell you that the book has a lot of information, surveys, very credible evidence that meditation has made a change. It actually has made a physical change in the brain with more neurons, with strength, strengthening the brain. It's not just that you feel better. Isn't that right, Alvaro?
Yeah, no, the main premise for what everything I'm discussing today is based on the best available evidence and very clear evidence. So, for example, there is a very important saying, which is cells that fire together wire together, meaning neurons that are supporting. So the more, for example, right now I'm speaking English, but I'm a native Spanish speaker. I was born in Spain. I've been in the U.S. only 15 years. So in the beginning, obviously, it took me a while for my English mental muscles to fire at the same time. And now they are pretty wired. Of course, I still have an accent, but the language comes pretty naturally as a result of constant practice. The same thing happens with meditation, with stress, with attention, with memory. They are muscles. And those muscles, we have to exercise them for them to remain in great shape and even to improve them. So meditation is a way to practice two things, to practice attention and to practice stress regulation. And you can see that physically in the strength of the circuits in the brain that support those functions.
Thank you. So we've been talking with Alvaro Fernandez, the Sharp Brain Guy, Brain Fitness. Never long enough, Alvaro. Thank you. And it's Amazon. We'll be back. And we're going to England when we come back.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
Thank you.
I hope
okay,
that was fun.
That was fine. I mean, we finished it up nicely. We also have a good editor. We'll even clean up the end there. And it sounds great.
Excellent.
So
well,
congratulations. But I see that this is a second edition. I didn't actually know about the first one. So
yeah.
I'm glad that it was a hit.
Yeah, no, and the second edition is, I mean, we all learn. So it's much better than the first one. The first one was a bit more dry, a bit more academic. This one, we took much more effort to understand people's questions and then
right.
how to structure the whole book. To do that, and the book just came also, well, it's already available, obviously, in English, but also in Spanish, in Polish, and just came out in Japanese. And in Japan, it's doing very well. So it is, as you say, it's a global awareness and a global movement of people realizing.
We'll be talking more again. I'm going to go on to, we have
yep.
to go on to the second
yep.
part of the show.
Yeah.
But we
Perfect.
Will stay
nice
in touch.
To
you're going to see an email
okay.
from me.
Super. Bye-bye, Adrian.
Wait, before you go off, you can see an email from me with the show, when it airs. You can take a podcast of it, use it any way you want.
Perfect.
Okay, it's going to air this Sunday from 10 to 11 Eastern Time, but it airs in different stations throughout the country. And there's an app that you could listen to called BizTalk. It's a free app, so if you wanted to hear it from anywhere. Just go to BizTalk on your phone and put in the BizTalk app and you can hear yourself live, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Wonderful. Good luck and we'll talk again, okay?
Thank you very much, Adrian. Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, hello? Mr. Smith? Hello? Can't hear. Hello, Mr. Smith? Ian? Can you hear me? Ian, if you can hear me, then you're going to need to call back. For some reason, I cannot hear you. We're not on the air, so don't worry about that, but we will be in a few minutes. So if you can call back, that would be fine. If you're having trouble at all, then I just want to give you our email very quickly. or you can call the cell, 201-303-6517. 201-303-6517.
Hello.
Hello, Ian. Can you hear me? Hello, Ian. And let's move these things, because when you kick them, I can't even hear the other person. Do you think we should hang up and read?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes, but I may
yes,
be hearing
okay.
You in the other room.
No. I'm whispering. Can you hear me now?
What about if you called? Would that make a difference? To,
I'm trying
effect?
To call. Hang on.
No, I mean called me. The way he
no,
happened.
No. You're on the. This my call is now is being recorded.
Oh. Ian, are you there? Ian, is it possible that your phone is on mute? Because I cannot hear you. And I'm not, and of course I therefore don't know if you're hearing me. You want to call him back? If you can hear me, I'm giving you my email. And just confirm that you're on. Okay. So what the engineer says is that we're going to cut you off and try calling you back. If you do want to send an email, though, it is adrianagberg@gmail.com. adrianagberg@gmail.com. I really don't know why we're having an issue, as we generally don't. We have a lot of people from England and Scotland, actually, on the air. So you hang up, and we will call you now.
Yes, this is Ian. Hi. Oh, here. Sonia on the other line. Hang on. Hold on one second.
Hello, Ian?
Hang on. Let's get up on the other line. Yeah, but we don't have him on the radio. That's the problem.
Right, I'm glad. You know, we knew you were holding. We could tell. And I couldn't hear you, and you couldn't hear me. So believe it or not, Stuart is on with Neil right now. I guess he's going to hang up right now for Neil and tell you exactly what to do. Okay? So, hold on.
Hello? Hi, how are you? Were you able to hear us? I'm going to speak with another number, and I'm going to try to look it up as a conference call and see if it, and see if we can get that to work. So, call 908. Okay, so call that number. And we'll answer it, and we'll see if we can get
to the
conference.
You want to try
okay.
The other way first?
Right. Bye-bye. I'll keep that for
you. Let me ask you a question. Is the sound good that way?
Yeah, it's probably better. It's probably better.
Now, I can see the timing very, very
okay.
Well.
Okay. I've been doing the same thing all
know,
the time.
I know, and it, but this has gotten worse. I see the time very well.
Okay. Hello? Okay, good. So I've got you on this line. So hold on, and I'm going to try something I actually haven't tried before. So hang on, okay? Okay. If we get cut off, we'll try calling back again, but hang on, okay? Okay.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
See if he hears you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, Ian, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. So I'm hearing you, and we're not hearing you on the show line still. I don't know why that is. Are you hearing? You're still hearing me? Yes.
Yes,
you're not
perfectly.
Hearing me, Adrian. Can you hear me through the phone? You can't hear me through the phone. Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Ian,
hello.
Can you hear me? Ian, you can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we are now on, and this is a triumph of some sort. I don't know why this happened. I'm so sorry. You're hearing me well?
Not a problem.
Okay.
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Wonderful,
good.
Wonderful. Okay. So, you know, we changed our studio from the last time, and I think this, it really wasn't ready for the long-distance calls, and we generally have people from overseas, so we didn't think it would be a problem. It was, and I heartily apologize. So.
No, it's not a problem at all.
Okay, so here's what we have to remember. We have a seven-second delay. Right.
So then don't talk over each other. Wait.
Oh, okay. We have a 1 or 2 second delay so that after we finish a sentence and you want to start to speak, and the same for me, just wait a second or two to answer because you're going to hear me finish before the audience hears me finish. And I'm going to hear you finish, okay?
Okay.
And so what I would like to do is I'm very enthusiastic. You know, I'm a big fan, and I'm going to introduce this to the audience as a big fan. I want you to talk about the festival. We will mention the cruise, but we'll have a whole separate one on the cruise. All right?
All right.
Perfect.
And one of the things I'm going to start with is, who is Gilbert and Sullivan? Because, you know, you and I think that the whole world knows everything about Gilbert and Sullivan, but they don't.
Yeah.
And also,
no,
I'm
don't.
Here.
Absolutely,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm hearing myself in an echo, and it doesn't disturb me, but are you hearing it in an echo?
I can hear a slight echo, yes. But again, it doesn't concern me.
No. Okay. So. He's going to listen for a minute to see if there's anything he can do. Now, other than the festival, what the festival is all about, and all the obvious things you want to tell people, I think what's also very interesting is that you have the visiting groups. I just saw Blue Hill Troop in Manhattan this weekend. They did Iolanthe. And right up there in their program was your Harrogate and how they won the award. There were about 3 or 4 pages, actually, in their program.
Was it? Really? That's good. Yeah.
And that was it. Now, my question, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm holding the receiver to my ear.
No. Is there anybody listening in or any speaker on?
No, I'm quite on myself.
No, he's fine.
I mean, the only option would be to try my mobile now that you've got the connection. If that was going to be better, I'm just as happy to use a mobile.
So, do you think it'll make any difference?
Let me see. What is the mobile number?
It's 07, well, from America, it's +44 7 9 6 7 9 6 8 7 9 9 1 1 9.
Okay, let me try calling that.
Hang on. Don't hang up.
Shall I hold this line open?
Yes, hold the line open.
Yeah.
Stuart, you know, the echoes don't bother either of us.
Yes,
but if
you...
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, Ian?
Yes, that's me.
Now that was also an echo. What you just said echoed, you know.
Ian, I'm going to disconnect the first line that we were on and go on the second line that I called you on. So I'm disconnecting that one now. You can hang that one up.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I can. I'm on. Can you hear me?
Perfectly. Yeah.
Perfectly. Okay. I'm still hearing an echo. It's not as bad though.
Okay, good. So you explain to the listeners that there may be a little echo.
All right. So, Ian, let me tell you what we're going to do here. All right. We're going to do our recording. As planned.
Yes.
We're going to then listen to it. Now, we have several other recordings to go because we have to do one on the cruise, and then we have to do a pre-festival one, and then, of course, there'll be ones after the festival because I really want to cover this from my point of view I've experienced it, but also from before. So we're going to do this in the event that it doesn't sound right. We will always, and it's sounding good now, I have to tell you. It's sounding very good. But in the event it doesn't sound right when we do the next one, which will be way before the event, we're going to do it from a different studio, and we will have no trouble. But right now it's sounding really good. There's no echoes or anything. Okay?
Good. Absolutely fine. Yes.
Okay. So you're going to hear some music. This is the second half of the show, so I'm not going to be introducing the show. And the most important thing is to give out the websites a few times or anything else that you want them to know for contact information. And I'm going to keep inviting you to do
that.
Thank you. Okay? All right, we're ready to go.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
So it's 11.
Right. By the way, would you be director? What is your best title? You have a lot of titles. What's your best title?
Well, I'm the founder and the artistic director.
Okay. Ian Smith is the right way to pronounce?
That's absolutely spot on, yes.
Okay, good. All right. But it's Gilbert and Sullivan Festival.
The International Gilbert and Sullivan Festival.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Okay, so it's 11 and 8.
Right, so the first is going to be 11 minutes. We have another segment after this, but the first is 11 minutes.
Fine.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy.
And yes, indeed, we are inappropriate for our age. We are the travelers of the world. And guess where we're all going in August? You are right, we're going to England, specifically Harrogate, England, as I teased in our first segment of the show. And we're going to the International Gilbert and Sullivan Festival. And who do we have with us? We have the founder and the artistic director of the International Gilbert and Sullivan Festival. His name is Ian Smith. You will hear that he himself is from England. There's no doubt about it. And you're going to love what I have to share with you and what he has to share. Even if you're not a Gilbert and Sullivan fan, even if you've never heard of Gilbert and Sullivan, we're going to turn you around. So thank you so much, Ian, for being with us today.
I'm absolutely delighted, and thank you for inviting me.
So, you know, you and I swim in the waters of loving the operettas of Gilbert and Sullivan, but not everybody even knows who Gilbert and Sullivan is. It's always a shock to me. I'm taken aback, and I think, Philistines, but I shouldn't be on my high horse. Tell everybody, how we would never have Broadway without Gilbert and Sullivan and who they were.
I think that's a very important question. Gilbert and Sullivan were both very successful in their own rights long before they met. Gilbert was a writer of plays and verse, and he was celebrated as London's most successful playwright in the 1860s and 1870s. And, you know, he was getting the praise from such literary giants as George Bernard Shaw, Oscar Wilde, Charles Dickens. He's very well known, or was very well known at that time, for a collection of verses called The Bab Ballads, which again was one of the most popular books in the 19th century. Sullivan was a composer of music. He was looked as the most promising and popular young composer to have come to fame in England in nearly a century. Got many, many awards, and they were introduced, and ultimately they produced a piece called Thespis, which sadly has ultimately been lost, but their claim to fame was when they were invited to write a one-acter, which would be presented as a curtain raiser to La Pericole, and this was called Trial by Jury. And what has happened over the last 140 years is that the influence that these two gentlemen had on Broadway, on the West End, has been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's quite interesting that what basically happened was that they created a completely new form of theatrical entertainment before their collaboration with the great works of opera. But what they did, they in fact put dialogue between the music. So you suddenly began to have a story that was running right the way throughout. You'd have a song, you'd have a duet, a trio, but then you'd have dialogue. Not only that, but what they also decided to do was to have what we now call a stage director. And instead of the actors just doing what they thought, the director directed them into what he wanted them to do. He gave the chorus individuality. And I think it's fair to say, and I'm no doubt an enthusiast like yourself, that today Gilbert and Sullivan are still the most performed and most famous theatrical partnership in the whole world.
That is true. And I do like to say that what Shakespeare did for the stage and plays, Gilbert and Sullivan did for the musical play. And we tend to think that the musical is an American experience, but there'd be no Oklahoma, no Gypsy. I saw American in Paris yesterday. There'd be none of it, really, without Gilbert and Sullivan. So the fact is, though, that their own operas, operettas, plays, musicals, are a joy. Each one is a joy in itself. And like Shakespeare, they always speak to the time that you're in. So you can see something that was written in the 19th century and think about American politics today. We just did that with Iolanthe, where there is the Peers of England, and it sounded very much like our presidential election today. So let's go to the festival, the International Gilbert and Sullivan Festival. Tell everybody where it takes place, how they can learn more about it, and then we'll get into the depths. We'll take a deep dive into how the festival came about.
Sure. Well, the festival is an annual event, and this year it will be in Harrogate, which is one of the most beautiful parts of northern England, the Yorkshire Dales, the Lake District, beautiful scenery. And it takes place in Harrogate from August 3rd to August 21st. And we have different performances every evening. We have matinee performances. We have fringe activities. It really is, as I say, we call it the greatest Gilbert and Sullivan show on earth. And it has something for everything, because we have a professional Gilbert and Sullivan opera company. We have amateur groups that travel from around the world to perform. We have a youth production for young people between 9 and 19. And we have another festival within the festival, which is exclusively for universities that have their own Gilbert and Sullivan societies to come and compete again for awards. And finally, and I think perhaps of particular interest to your audience, we've established something which we call Bus Pass Opera. Now, I do believe that in England, we probably journey on buses much more than you do in the United States. And what happens in England is that when you reach the ripe old age of 60, you can get a free bus pass to travel on the buses. So this Bus Pass Opera is exclusively for people who are 60 years or older, who absolutely have the most amazing theatrical experience, but perhaps are too old to appear in groups where you have young people taking the leading roles. So they have their own show, and would you believe this year they're doing Iolanthe, and so every fairy is going to be over 60. And I think what we're going to say is we are very ancient fairies, ever singing, ever dancing, but we'll make it work absolutely beautifully.
Well, it does work beautifully, and in the Blue Hill Troupe, which was a winner, that's a U.S. Troupe, was a winner in one of your festivals, all of the peers were over 60, and we had never seen that before. So, and it was thrilling, and by the way, it was right, it was appropriate. Now, the next part of this is, of course, how do people find out more so that they can attend? That's really key, because it is coming up in August, and I know that people do pre-plan their vacations. And for us, we have still a lot of people listening who are working, so they're taking some time off. Others are retired, and they can take the time, but they have to make the plan. So what is the best way? I know that on your website, not only can you get tickets, but you could attend a gala, and you can even merge it into a package where you have fantastic hotels, one of which was lived in by another icon, and that is Agatha Christie. So there's all kinds of things going on in Harrogate. Tell everybody how to find out all the details.
Well, you're absolutely right. Our website is very simple. It's www.gsfestivals.org. So GS for Gilbert and Sullivan Festivals.org. And again, you're absolutely right. Last year, we had a couple from Hawaii who happened to be in London on vacation, and they picked up one of the national newspapers and read about the Gilbert and Sullivan Festival in Harrogate. And they jumped on a train in the morning, they got to Harrogate for lunchtime, they saw a matinee performance, and then they travelled back to London that evening. Now, as a result of that, they were so excited, they're coming to Harrogate this year for 10 days. And we find that very many Americans, North Americans, find out about the festival, come and spend 2 or 3 days or a week, and certainly then they're back on a very regular basis. They just absolutely love it, because you in America were as brought up on Gilbert and Sullivan and the old Doric Art Opera Company almost as much as we were here in the UK.
So we have a lot of G&S aficionados, but I want to turn more heads. Once people get introduced to this, they almost become addicts. I have to know, it's a fair warning. Gilbert and Sullivan should come with a little bit of a warning, like the cigarettes. It's very good for your health, it's very good for your psyche, but it could be addictive. And, you know, if you are looking for something new, we have so many people who travel that listen to this show. And they are up to the point where they want to go to international festivals. They're culture vultures. And this is really one of the best. If you like Broadway, if you like musicals, if you like opera or operetta, you're going to love this. You're also going to hear, just as in Shakespeare, you're going to hear words and phrases that you might even be using every day, but you don't even know it. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more of the impact of Gilbert and Sullivan on all of us. And we'll also talk about a wonderful cruise. We love to travel. We love cruises. And there's a Gilbert and Sullivan cruise. We'll have more on that in a moment. Don't go anywhere, but start packing. We'll be right back.
No, that's fine.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so this is great. Now we're off the air for a few minutes. I'm going to put commercials in, all right?
Yes, no, that's fine.
So when we come back, I do want to talk about the cruise a little bit, because we're going to have a whole session on it. But I think it is interesting. How do we account for the fact that it is so popular and for so long? There are so many things in it, including things about aging, that resonate with us today. So that's good. We'll talk about that. What else in particular would you like to bring out? I'd like to talk a little bit about the gala.
Well, I think the fact that we have the Savoy Company, which is the oldest company in the world that was registered by Gilbert from Philadelphia, who are coming to the festival this year. You know, I think we've brought the festival to America on 5 occasions, and again, we're very wonderfully received in California, in Gettysburg, and in Philadelphia. I'm happily cover anything at all. I can talk
good.
Forever.
Great.
I should imagine you can do the same.
Yeah.
Which
oh,
is splendid. Yes, we can talk about the tour, the opera company touring, a little bit about that perhaps. Whatever takes your fancy, I'm right with
good.
You.
And whatever we don't cover, we will the next time. So we have 9 minutes this time.
Perfect.
And we're good.
Good.
All right.
Okay.
We've got to count down. It'll be a few seconds. It'll be about 30 seconds before it starts. Okay? It'll be about 30 seconds.
But that should be no problem. Okay, no problem. Go ahead.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Well, how appropriate is that? This is Adrienne Berg. This is Generation Bold. This is the Fountain of Truth. We are now residing in Harrogate, England, because we are contemplating picking up the phone, going to the computer, going to G&S Festivals with an S .org. Am I right, Ian? GNSFestivals.org?
No, and it's purely GSFestivals.org.
Okay, good. I'm glad that I corrected it, because when I said it, I was wondering. GSFestivals.org. And the reason that it was so appropriate was that little music, Ian, was written for us. It's a 10-minute musical that you can hear on our website, GenerationBoldRadio.com. And it was written by a fellow on Broadway who writes musicals. He's pretty famous, and he did something for us because we made a big donation to an organization that deals with promoting Broadway shows. But there would be no him, there would be no Broadway, without Gilbert and Sullivan, GSFestivals, with an S, .org. And there's going to be a wonderful August festival, an international festival of G&S, Gilbert and Sullivan. We've been explaining, for those who don't know, that they are, and without them, there would be no musicals. But I want to go back to the festival itself. It is such a rich experience. Can you tell us a little bit about the gala and the fact that you've brought the festival to the U.S. to great acclaim?
Yes, indeed. One of the big problems is that to have an international festival, you need international participating groups and societies. And so the first year, we were very lucky. In 1994, we had 4 American groups that came across with a full-scale production. And in 1995, 3 came across. And suddenly I recognized that it cost them a lot of money to come to England, that what I needed to do was perhaps bring the festival to America so we could see and encourage more G&S in the United States. So in 1997, we took the festival to Berkeley, California. We also went to Philadelphia, and we did Philadelphia twice, and we've also been to Gettysburg. In England, the festival is now in its 23rd year, and we attract visitors from all around the world. I mean, literally from New Zealand, even across to Brazil and Ecuador, we've had visitors coming in. This year, we have our first visitors from mainland China, which is very exciting. And it's a day that if you like Gilbert and Sullivan, you can get up first thing in the morning, and like at 9:30, there is a free early morning cinema of interviews with famous Doylecartians, who many of whom perhaps have passed on, but who we will remember, and many of your listeners will remember. Then at 10:30 in the morning, we have fringe events. We have free lunchtime entertainment every day, matinee performances in the afternoon, and of course the professional and semi-professional performances at night. This is in a magnificent, we call it the Royal Hall, Harrogate. It was built by a very famous theatre designer, Frank Matcham. There are possibly about six of his theatres left in the world, and Harrogate Royal Hall is one of them. And so the performances are there. And then after the show, we say, please don't go to bed. Come now and join our nightly festival club, where we have a cabaret from the performing group, and you can have food and you can have a drink. You make new friends. You have a ball the whole time you're there.
Yeah, I will tell you, I'm preparing to sleep beforehand because I'm going to go to everything, soup to nuts. And I will tell you, it's a fully immersive experience. Enjoy. Let me just say, this is a show about aging, and many, many people know that I do some quotes about aging. But I use the G&S quotes more than anything else. What I love is, she may very well look like 43 in the dusk with the light behind her. And every time I look in the mirror and I think, hey, do I still look good at 68? I say, well, you may very well look like 43 in the dusk with the light behind you. There is so much fun that goes on at all levels. Politics are made fun of. Not just the government, but corporations are made fun of. And you think back, this is the 19th century. They're making fun of gender. They're making fun of being politically correct. Everything you could think of that's going on today, you're going to laugh at when you listen to the lyrics. And that's the genius, of course, of Gilbert, and then the divine music of Sullivan. So there's going to be a gala. It starts out with a gala. Just tell us a little bit about that to whet our appetite.
Yes, what we really wanted to do, and this is something quite new, we wanted to emphasize the importance that Gilbert and Sullivan had on Broadway and musicals generally. And so we're starting with a gala dinner and concert on Wednesday, August 3rd. And this is taking a look at the world's favorite musicals from Gilbert and Sullivan through to Rodgers and Hammerstein. Now, I've been singing, performing Gilbert and Sullivan for more than 60 years. So I remember many of the musicals that are going to be featured in this particular concert, and it's going to be really special. The host is a man called Richard Sewart, who is well known in America. He performed Coco for English National Opera when they brought Jonathan Miller's celebrated production. He's a regular performer in New York, and so that in itself is going to be very good. All the stars of our professional National Gilbert and Sullivan Opera Company will be performing, as well as the full chorus, and we have, of course, our own National Gilbert and Sullivan Orchestra. So it promises to be a very spectacular and splendid opening to what then is 18 days of splendid nonstop Gilbert and Sullivan.
Now, I just want to remind everybody, it's gsfestivals.org. They make it very easy for you. This is really one-stop shopping. You can get your tickets. You can get your hotels. You can get a beautiful tickets to the gala. You can even have an excursion to Leeds, which is a very interesting city nearby. So this is the full board for the greatest vacation of joy that you could ever have. The other thing is that I know that all of you love cruising. You're always sending me questions about types of cruises, what's new. And I also know that you're veterans of cruising. So we're going to have director and founder Ian Smith with us again in a different show when we emphasize cruising and how that can be a really important part of your life, talking about G&S Cruise. So there's so much that you can do to join this community and continue with lifelong learning. So thank you so much, Ian. This has been wonderful, and we'll be talking again.
Thank you indeed. It's been a pleasure for me, too.
Okay, and now, as I say every single week, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay, so now we finally, by George, we got it. Okay?
That's good. Yes,
so we are off
Thank
the air. It sounded
indeed.
Very good. The engineer just came in with thumbs up signs. The sound was great.
Good.
There was no echoes. And it's wonderful.
Excellent.
And so
that's,
now we,
is that, am I right, that's going out on a Sunday morning?
Yes. Now, it's going out Sunday morning. It's the second half of a show that starts at 10 o'clock
yeah.
and ends at 11 New York time. Eastern Standard
yeah.
Time, okay? Now, the first half of the show is a totally different guest. So if you want to listen to just your half, you would do it at 10:30 Eastern Time. Now, there is an app, which a free app that you can listen to the show on your phone from anywhere in the world. And
right.
That is, yeah, and that's BizTalk, BizTalk Radio. Just go to BizTalk Radio on the phone, and you can get the
All
free
right.
app. He's looking for something. Oh, he's just making sure it's the right app.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, BizTalkRadio.com on the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there's a couple of things. If you want to listen live, you can go to the, on your computer, you can go to BizTalkRadio.com and just listen live on the computer. Or you can
yeah.
go to their front page and download their app.
Perfect. I was thinking we have a lot of friends in America, and it would be nice to put a little message out that they should be listening to your program on Sunday, so you might get some new listeners coming in for
well,
it as well.
For me, that would be wonderful. I love it. And
yeah.
So there's two things. First of all, the way to do that, the way that they can do that from anywhere in the country or in the world is through that
yeah.
app. So that's the information
right.
you should give them, and that's wonderful. However, after the show, we have a website, which is generationboldradio.com. And about 2 or 3 days after
yeah.
the show
yeah.
is over, usually the following Wednesday, we archive your show forever. And it's on the front
All right.
page
yeah.
of our website. So there'll be a picture of the festival logo. There'll be a write-up of the festival.
Yeah.
And that'll be on the front page.
Yes.
For at least a week. And then and then they can go and they can listen to it there, too. So if they don't catch the show, you can tell them that
yeah.
they can go to generationboldradio.com starting Wednesday and hear the archive anytime they want and read about the festival as well.
Very good.
So,
excellent.
And of course,
that's really good.
Yeah, that's good. And, of course, we'll send that to you as well with a link when that's up so you can look at it yourself and do whatever you wish with
good.
That one for
Perfect.
Promotion. All right? I'm very excited
good.
About
that's
it.
Good. That's absolutely splendid.
And we're good. I'm very excited.
Well, everything's going... Sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, what I was going to ask you was... the cruises, I don't know if this is of interest to you, but I see looking at your website, you obviously have sponsors. What we're looking to do, we would be very happy if you thought, we're doing 4 cruises starting in October this year. So in October, we're going to Croatia, Romania, Serbia, and Bulgaria, which will really be a fascinating trip into Eastern Europe, which I bet not many Americans will have done. We're doing a simple one also in November this year, which is taking the Eurostar under the English Channel Tunnel, and we're cruising Holland and Belgium. And then in spring, we've 2 more. One is going from Budapest to Vienna, through to Passau and Prague, and the other is the repeat of the Eastern European one. And what we've done with 1 or 2 people is to say, look, if you're interested in earning some money, I don't know if this is what part and parcel of your business, but we're offering a commission where cabins are sold through different intermediaries, as it were. So I don't know whether that will be of interest to you or not.
It is tremendous interest, because what I would probably do is go on the cruise with my stipend.
Yes.
So, that'd
well, look,
be wonderful.
What I'll do, we're just finishing the brochure. I'll have it finished in the next 20. It's going to be distributed. We've set up something called the Theatrical Adventure Travel Club. bringing Europe and beyond to life, because we also see in the near future possibly take, we've done the Nile on two or three occasions. Sadly, Egypt now is just a little bit dangerous, so we're leaving that alone. But we're looking at the Rhine. We're looking at possibly going to Vietnam and Cambodia. And we put our own entertainers on the boat who are all stars, some of them international opera singers or operetta singers. We have lecturers. And, of course, if you were to come, you would be a very welcome lecturer. So I'll send you the brochure and I'll put a little proposal in to see if you think it would be of interest. And if it is, just let me know. If you wanted me to talk about it, I will do it at the drop of a hat.
Okay, so I definitely want you to talk about it. And let me tell you that what I will do is I will pick out times in my own life when I could actually make one of those cruises. And I will copy the brochure, so try to send it as clear, you know, as possible, because I do a lot of speaking. And it's the speaking where I may get more people, because they know that I'm going on a particular cruise, you know, or I'm endorsing the cruises. And that would be something where I would take the brochures with me. For example, I'm doing doing four lectures in May. No, two in May and two in June. So by the middle of June, I'll have an opportunity to at least be in front of four, you know, fairly large groups.
Yes.
And I'll bring it with me. That would be wonderful.
I'll certainly do that. Yeah, you'll have it tomorrow. And as I say, we've set up this travel club. We've just come back from a Danube cruise. Everybody was so enthusiastic. Again, you'll see in the brochure, we put some statistics in, satisfaction survey, and some of the comments of some of the people on it. So that's fantastic. I appreciate very much your interest and enthusiasm, and we will look forward to seeing you in August. All the reservations and everything have been made. I'll confirm the hotel. It could possibly be another month, but I'll confirm that to you certainly by early June.
Good. And in the middle of May, we should have our second show, which would be about these cruises and the travel club. And that's going to be an all-travel show anyway.
Great.
Okay? That's wonderful.
Oh, that's great. Yes, that's perfect.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Right.
I'm very pleased to have made contact with you. I'm sure we can help each other.
Absolutely. It's terrific. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.